Welcome to the anointed teaching and preaching at Arena of Life Church and Ty Jones Ministry. We believe that you'll be blessed by this message you're about to hear.
Go with me to Philippians chapter 4, staying in an attitude of worship. Just grab your Bibles as you stand there, Philippians chapter 4. Turn our piano up. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. We want to honor the Lord. It says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. You know, that may be something that we need to take heed today. How many of y'all have ever been in a place where it's hard for you to rejoice, where it's hard for you to really remember what God has done in your life? I know all of us have been there, but rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. But every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, everybody say peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, today, as I pray right now, Lord, as I speak on the armor of God and the shoes of peace, Lord, I pray today, God, that it would not be my words, but be your words speaking through me. Lord, I pray that you would, the authority that's on the end, that you have given me, that may my lips be like the pen of a ready writer. Direct my steps, Lord. Use me at your discretion. Lord, speak into someone's life today that needs to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated today. Who's happy to be here? Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, if you'd open them to Ephesians chapter 6. Like I said, I'm super honored to be in the pulpit today, and I believe God's going to do something big in each and every one of our lives. If you have missed, this is my fourth teaching that I've taught on the armor of God. I've done them on Wednesday nights, starting 2 weeks ago, and then we had a graduation for Life Challenge. Cody, he graduated, and I preached the second part and then the third part last week. And if you, any message with Arena of Life, if you need them, go to arenaoflifechurch.org. You can click on media. You can go to any message that's preached on the podcast. Also, too, on your device, if you have an Apple product, you already have it on their podcast. You just need to do a search engine for Arena of Life, and it will pick it up, subscribe to that, and you can listen to any message that's on there. If you have an Android, which I'm sorry if you do, but if you have an Android, just kidding. sorry. Apple's biblical. Android, I haven't seen it in there yet. But anyways, if you have an Android, you can search some kind of podcast, Podcast Revolution. There's several different things. Search Arena of Life, and you can go and listen back on any message. In fact, I'm going to encourage you, Pastor preached a message, actually last week, The Voice, but 2 weeks ago, Why We Go to Church. And in that, he talked about coming in with an open heart. And I want to encourage you to have an open heart this morning. Not throw anything. Don't throw apples at the preacher this morning. But have an open heart as we discuss God's word together, and I believe God's going to do something big in your life. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 10. It says this, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. Armor does not work until you put it on. And God has equipped us with all of this armor, but there's choices and things in our life that we have to do to put the armor of God on. So he says, put it on. And when we put that on, it's like a brand new suit. How many of y'all believe in 2 Corinthians 5:17? We are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. Give the Lord praise for that, that he no longer looks at your old life. Praise the Lord. Stand. And so it says, put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of the evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. We see six times that it uses the word against. And as we study the word of God, we see this. We see that against, anytime there is six in anything, it refers to man. So it ought to perk our ears up, being a man or being a human. We need to perk our ears up that he's talking to us, that the devil is continually against us. In fact, the word devil means this, diablo. Dia meaning to throw something. Balo means to penetrate. He will throw until he penetrates in your life. How many of y'all believe that that's true? All the time, on a daily basis, whether you're walking with God or not. He is always at work. And so the first installment I talked about, he is after us. The devil wants you. But the first thing that he tells us to do is put on the girdle of truth. Now, the girdle is not the most impressive part of the armor, obviously, but as we put this girdle on, we see that it's connected, and it's a very vital piece because the breastplate connected inside of the girdle. It had a place for a little short sword, the scabbard, that the Roman soldier wore. And the reason that Paul is telling us to look at the armor of this soldier because he'd been chained to one most of his life. So he knew exactly what was going on. And so in this girdle, we see that it's not only has this little place where it can connect to the shield, which is the shield of faith, has a little bit of connection there. It has a place where it can put the sword, which we talk about later, the sword of the Spirit. And it has a place in the back where the spear can go through, which is the spear of prayer, which we'll talk later on down the road as well. But all of these things are all connected back to one thing, the Word of God. And the girdle of truth represents, it starts off with the Word of God, and it ends with the Spirit of truth, which is the Word of God. And it tells me this, the Word is very important. You have to be in the Word of God. Amen? What is Joshua told? He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So if it has a connection, if the girdle of truth has a connection with the shield, being the shield of faith, it's through the word of God we have a connection to have faith. It's through the word of God that the breastplate of righteousness is fitted inside of the girdle, that we can live a righteous lifestyle because of us standing on the word of God. Am I clear this morning? The second thing we talked about was the breastplate of righteousness. I preached this Wednesday night. Righteousness is a very important thing that you as a believer, whether you're new or you're old to Christ, that you understand righteousness. Righteousness is a very good key for you unlocking new things in the realm of the Spirit for you to live a righteous lifestyle. I'll tell you this right now. It's not because of my righteous living that makes me more righteous. It's because of righteousness that makes me want to live a righteous lifestyle. It's because of righteousness, right standing with God, that I can stand before him boldly. And he doesn't look at my old life. He doesn't look at the past things that I've said and done. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But it's because of Romans chapter 5 that he gave his life for me. Lots of times we have this mentality, oh my gosh, that dude's so righteous. Or that person or that girl, she is so righteous. She's a prayer warrior. Oh my gosh, her level of righteousness is right here. I'm going to tell you right now about righteousness, all right? It's very important that you understand this. You're either right standing with God or you're not. You either have it turned on or you have it turned off. It's not a ranking like in a military. It's not like you're a corporal righteousness, you're a general righteousness. You're either righteous or you're not righteous. The minute you give your life to Christ, he says, you're right standing before me. The way Jesus walked on the earth, everything that he did, he had his view towards God. And that's a righteous lifestyle. In all that you do, you have a view towards the Father. You're not either more righteous or less righteous. You either are righteous or you're not righteous. So I'm going to encourage you, live a righteous life. It's not my righteous living that makes me more righteous. It's because of righteousness that unlocks something in me to want to live a righteous life. And I don't know about you, but when I live righteous, when I live at a place in my life, always looking towards him, it's amazing the goodness of God and what he does in my life. Amen. Here's the third thing today we're going to talk about, and it's very important that you get this and you put on this armor, but we're going to talk about the shoes of peace. You know what's going on in the world today is absolutely, there is some bad stuff. Would you all agree with that? There's lots of stuff that absolutely, it's turmoil all the time. Everywhere we turn, U.S. government split. We're in a constant fight with the short guy in North Korea. We're having Las Vegas shootings everywhere. It's bad enough that we have nude centerfolds and magazines for that, which we've had a long time, but that we have a transgender That's just disgusting, right? But there's bad stuff going on in the world all over today. But let me tell you something. Truth be told, there's been a lot of bad stuff going on for a long time. Right? It's like this. It's the analogy that I've given before. But if I come in here at 7:30 in the morning and I shoot a shotgun, nobody gets hurt. But now that you fill this room full of people, I shoot a shotgun, lots of people's lives are at stake. It's the same way, now that we are full and this earth is filled, we have more tragedy. When there was earthquakes and tornadoes hundreds and even 1,000 years ago, it wasn't that big of a deal. Now it's huge because people's lives are at stake. But truth be told, there's been lots of bad stuff that goes on all the time. But also, we live in a time and a day where we know things, we know way too much. We know way too much false information. I know Pastor would probably stone me, but and you know he watches a lot of Fox News, and that's probably the most correct there is, but there's a lot of baloney on Fox News. There's a lot of baloney that all throughout the world. And you know what it is? We live in a time of day where we touch our cell phones and we unlock with our passcode, whether it be with your fingerprint or whatever it is, or scroll it to the right. We unlock our phones 150 times a day. 150 times. We actually have a problem now that we think our phone vibrates. It's called phantom vibration in your underpants, where you go, oh, and you look, nobody's text, nobody's called. But we live in this place where we're expecting someone to reach out to us. We live in this fantasy world that we need to have information all the time. We're addicted, and we're addicted to bad news. You know, it's sad to me, and you know, a lot of you know this, but I've shot horses for many years, and it's amazing. There was this guy, successful guy here in town, and he, you guys have seen it on the news, murder for hire. I shot tons of horses for this guy. Know him really, really well. The scandal of the Texas Panhandle. And it's amazing, everywhere that I went, everybody wanted to talk about what was going on in this case and the people that he was after and who he wanted to kill. And it's like people are, have you heard anything new? You know, being the horseshoer, I'm like the barber. Everybody tells me everything. Have you heard anything new? I mean, who's he after? How's he going to do it? All this different stuff. There's a divorce that's happening in right now. Some show people, I mean, some significant people in this community that a divorce is happening. It's been amazing to me. Everywhere that I went, people wanted to talk about this divorce on Facebook of some people that are having an innocent meal. Teachers unloading on each other. People are videoing it and putting it on Facebook. And people are eating it up everywhere around. I'm going to tell you right now, we don't live in a place of peace. If there is peace, it's because you create it. But you know what? I'm even sorry to share this morning. But I was talking to one of our vets here, and I said, Chris told me, he said, Preacher, he said, when was it okay for Christians to live a life of slander? I said, well, we're not supposed to. He said, yeah. You know, when we're kids, we're taught not to talk bad about somebody or not to say anything about that person. But now we live in this cyber world, and it is okay to talk bad about a restaurant, and it is okay to talk bad about a business, and it is okay to slander and gossip. What's the difference? I'm asking you, what is the difference? There is none. And you're asking me why peace isn't happening in your life, but I see it all the time. I see Christians post stuff about somebody or something or someone that has ticked them off. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9? He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the child of God. And so I'm going to tell you right now, as a child of God, you either create peace or you don't have peace. You may think you're walking with the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, there's either good coming out of your mouth or bad coming out of your mouth. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I'm just telling you, even though we live in the cyber world, that we may think that it's okay, it's slander and it's gossip. You may be saying things around all this different way to say about a family member that you just left the family reunion and they did something to you, and you know exactly who you're talking about, and they know exactly who you're talking about. That's slander. I don't care if you're reaching out. Reach out to somebody. And you know, to me, I felt sorry for the teachers. I'll just be real honest with you. I was a youth pastor for 13 years. Youth drove me nuts. There was times where I wanted to choke the life out of them. Like, Why'd they talk to me like that? But you know what? I needed people in my life that I could reach out to and get things out of me. And if somebody's sitting around the corner filming this, that's baloney. You know what's the problem is? The person that's filming it, they can't tell me that they've lived a perfect life. They can't tell me that. You either bring a peace or you're not. I want to be a child of God. I want, when I pull into a place, I want to bring peace. I want them to see the love of God. You know, it's not anything that I say, and I said this last week. It's nothing that you can say. It's no check mark of Christianity. It's nothing that, how many of y'all ever met an atheist before? I've met atheists. Listen, there's nothing that I can say out of my mouth that will change them from being an atheist. Yes, the word of God is like a sword, but I do know this. It's my lifestyle. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The way that I live my life unlocks something in them. Christ's bigger than me not believing in the Lord. It's who I am. It's how I've lived my life. You know, I'm even sad to tell you this. I hope this is okay. I hope I'm not making anybody mad. No, I hope I am, so you make a difference in your life. But here's the deal. I have this girl that I shot for many years. She's a great woman of God. She loves Jesus. It's written all over her. The whole time I'm shoeing horses for her, she talks about how much she loves the Lord. Well, she's in media at West Texas A&M University. She told me a story the other day that I cannot stop thinking about it. She said, me being in media, I have the most liberal teachers and liberal people that I'm around all the time. I believe God's put me in there. In fact, she's already told me of testimonies people have come to Christ because they are so lost. And I'm telling you, Christ shines in this young lady. But she told me something. She said, this is what's sad in the world we live in today. The teacher comes before him and says this, I'm going to have this transgender Army Green Beret to come speak. He said, this is what we'll do. We'll set it up right now, and we'll have a 50-people venue. And us living in the Bible Belt, there will be Christians that will go nuts over this, and they will share it and speak so badly of us, but bad publicity is also publicity, so it'll push it farther than we could ever reach. He said that Christians will push this farther than we could ever imagine it happen. Now they're at a 50-people venue, up to 1,000 people interested in coming to this event. Because people slandered, gossip, and tore down. Think about Kaepernick. See, if people would have just ignored him, if they'd have fired him, I'd say put him in the bench. I'm not saying that I'm for what he did. Absolutely not. But all these people that are burning his jerseys, you can't tell me he was at home going, I did it. I did it. You know what Trump did? This is a brilliant man. He said this before all his people. He said it cost Mitt Romney $3 million in advertising. He said, we ain't spending that. In fact, you can put that back in the account because this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to say something at the line or over it. And all of you know he went to the line and over it several times. But he said, what will happen is media will push this farther and we won't even have to even mess with it because they'll handle themselves. But you know what? I don't want to be the person that pushes this lifestyle any further than it needs to go. Amen? Listen, I'm not for it. I'm not. But I want you to think about something this morning. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. Is this too hard for you this morning? I think this is good. I think this is something that we all need to realize and see. Now, getting into my text this morning, who in here likes shoes? Let me see. Brandy, you better have two hands, both feet. I'm telling you. Amen. We like shoes, all right? We like them, all right? Forrest Gump said this. He said, Mama always said there's an awful lot you can tell about a person's shoes, where they're going, where they've been. I've worn lots of shoes. I bet if I think about it real hard, I can remember my first pair of shoes. Mama said they'd take me anywhere. She said they was my magic shoes. There's more. See me after the service. I taught her how to swing. She taught me how to dangle. She's my only friend. Sorry to ruin your Black Panther party. All right. Moving on. Listen. I shoe horses for a living. A lot of you guys know that. And I tell you what, one of the reasons I'm a horse shoer is because my feet are so sensitive. I mean, like, bad. I have sandals by the bed. I have them in the bathroom. I have them all over the house. Brandy's like, you never put them in the right spot. But I like sandals. I need sandals. Like, my feet are sensitive. When we're at the lake, I'm just like, I'm so crippled if I don't have, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I became a horseshoer, because, I mean, I feel sorry for them. They, you know, I mean, you run on concrete all day long without shoes, okay? And so I feel for them, but one of the things that I did, being a horseshoer and being a student of history, I like lots of history, I looked up where horseshoeing began. And actually, the first shoe is found in actually all the way back to 400 BC. And the value of what I took away from the history of horseshoeing was this, was they saw this, that the team that had the best shod fit horses won the battle. Now, let me say that again. The team that had the best shod and best footed horses won the battle. And so in your life, when your feet are shod properly, when your feet are at a great foundation, battles that come up, you will win the war. And so let's go to this verse, chapter 6 and verse 15. It says, for shoes put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Looking at the history of the Roman guard and his gear, footwear was very essential. Their battles were different from ones that, you know, that we fight today. We have nuclear and all this different stuff. We can shoot things very far. They marched. They had swords. They had spears and all this stuff. So it's very important that their feet were good. There ain't no way I could do it. I'm telling you, it's bad, all right? But their shoes were thickly studded with nails. Looking back, Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar, we see that they were thick leather, and they came all the way up past the knee. In fact, a lot of ladies today have some Roman soldier-looking boots on today. But they could now travel longer distances. They were kind of a mixture between a combat boot and cleats. And one of the things that you need to realize about the boots that they wore was this. They were not only defensive, but they were also offensive as well. Not like in style, like you're offending me, but like they had an offensive grip on them as well, not only defensive. There's three things I don't want to share with you this morning of having peace in your life and having your feet properly shod with the good news of the gospel of peace is this. Number one, if you're writing down notes, write down this. Preparation. Everybody say it together. Preparation. It says readiness. If you see it, it says readiness or preparation, which means this, constant vigilance. You know, it's amazing to me the prep work that we will do in other areas of our life, but not necessarily in our walk with Christ. We went to Disney World for the first time with our kids 2 years ago, and OMG, there's no preparation that can help you for going to see Mickey. Come inside, it's fun inside. No, that is not true. Mickey lies when he sings that, all right? Because I'm telling you, it is intense. You read books about it, but I'm like, you're walking in, and it's like, holy moly, all these different races are coming. Dobby Odigato, Mr. Roboto, people talking different, and you're walking in. And I mean, people, it's like you hit an ant hill, and like ants come out of the ant hill. There is people everywhere. And you need fast passes for this and fast passes for that. You need to get in this line. And, you know, they give you all these clues on how to make your best experience. But you are, and it was amazing. Brandy sat down for hours the night before when we got there. It was like homework. All right, tomorrow we're going to Magic Kingdom, okay? We need a fast pass at 8:15 at the Seven Dwarfs. And then at 10 o'clock, we're going to have a fast pass at the Teacups. And then at 1 o'clock, we're going to have a fast pass to Space Mountain. It's like, kids, when we come in, you pay attention to me, you walk with me, and you go with me. We're on vacation. Have fun. Smile. Your dad paid a lot of money for this. You're like, oh. But let me tell you something. You can prepare all you want to, but still, it's like, it's a lot of preparation. I have an uncle. He is a sergeant major in the military, and it's like everything is regimented. You go to the lake with him, he's like, all right, tomorrow morning, we're waking up at 4:30. 5:30, we're going to have two cups of coffee. By 5:30, we eat breakfast. 6 o'clock, we're going to have the boat in the water. We will fish till 9 o'clock. If you catch a fish at 9:05, that is inappropriate. I mean, he is like boom, 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 boom. If you know any sergeant majors whatsoever, everything is like boom, boom. He will prepare, prepare, prepare. Some of you prepare. You like your sock drawer just right, all this different stuff. You like your pickup just right. I know I'm speaking to some of y'all. There's great things, but in other areas of your life where everything is prepared, everything is planned out. How many of y'all, those planners out there, all right? I don't like y'all. Y'all are no fun. There's no room to have fun. Brandy, you should have your hand up. She's a planner. It drives me nuts. I'm like, let's have fun. No, that is it wrote down? We're not doing that. No. Quit acting like that. You know what else is crazy to me? We'll study people. We'll study other people's lives. Oh, the neighbors are having fried chicken. Your brother's cousins, aunts, that owns the cat, that has the friend, his son is playing flag football live. It's great. And we'll just go through. It's amazing how much time we'll spend in certain things, but yet we don't prepare for the battle that's always ahead of us every day. He says, you got to prepare. You got to get ready. You got to have the readiness that comes. When it comes to preparing to face the evil one, we got to know. You know, I'm looking at Doug right now. He prepares for the end of the world all the time. He's a prepper, for sure. Like, when you go skiing with him, he has like 14 backpacks. Well, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? You're like, Doug, we're going skiing for one afternoon. It's all right. He's got like fix-a-flat. He's got an extra tire in there. He's got like a jack, all this different stuff. Military guy, my point exactly. But here's the deal. Lots of times in our life, we just think, this is our mentality. You know, when it happens, it happens. God'll take care of it. It's true, though, Jesse. He can handle it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, God is love. We have it on the bathroom, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And we have all this stuff thinking that that's going to fix something. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to have peace in your life, you're going to have to show yourself approved. The Bible says this, just real quickly, 1 Peter 3:15, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You not only need to know why what you believe, but you need to know why you believe what you believe. It'll unlock something in your life. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. I want to encourage you, be prepared. Worship daily. Listen daily. The minute you take off, he's coming after you. If you can put on armor, you can take off armor. And so it's very important that we live a life that continually puts it on. Here's the second one. First, we need to have preparation. Here's the second one. Foundation. Peace means this: freedom from disturbance, quiet and tranquility, confidence. How many of y'all want confidence in the Word of God? I remember, just like yesterday, when they told us in the hospital, Pastor talked a little bit about this. Pastor talked about how Addison had a hole in her heart. And, you know, that's a big deal. In fact, there's kids, but we're reading a book right now where the dad, they had to make a decision to have a hole in the heart fixed because it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But I remember when they told me that, it's very easy for self-doubt to come. It's easy for other things to creep inside of your mind. But you know what? It's so much better if you have confidence in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God. But I knew this, Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his Word and he healed Addison. I knew this, Isaiah 53 and verse 5, the chastisement of his peace was upon her, and by his stripes she is healed. Isaiah 53, 1 says, whose report are you going to believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. And so as I begin to say that, confidence rises up on the inside of me. It's like amazing how it begins to build up on the inside of me. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 my right hand, but he will not come near my dwelling place. He who dwells in the Most High, who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord that he is Addison's refuge and he is Addison's fortress. In Addison's trust, she will put, and I believe this hole will be filled up. I bind healing and health to her. And it's amazing. Confidence begins to rise up. Amen. 6 weeks from there. It was amazing. It was amazing. We go in, they tell us, you know, it's getting better and better. And then it was amazing. It instantly closed up, didn't it?
A year?
It was a year later?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. She knows facts more better than I do. But here's the deal. We had to stand on the Word of God. I remember, and Pastor may think, it was 5 years ago, we were in an elders meeting, and Pastor tells us this. I knew a little bit before that. He says, doctors say that there is cancer in my body. A lot of you don't know this, but he says, as pastors and elders, I believe the word says believers can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I'm going to tell you, your pastor, and to honor him as we did a while ago for October, I saw a man of faith bigger than anything I've ever seen. It was amazing to me. They said, well, what are you going to, he said, how do you feel? He said, I feel like there is something that's in my body that doesn't have a right to live there. Of course, he fought it through the Word of God. He put on the armor of God, and it was amazing. Healing. He hadn't had it in 4 years or however long it's been. Give God praise for that this morning. But I'm telling you, we sat there, and before our eyes, didn't we, Don? We saw a man that was confident in the Word of God. You got to be at a place, as not when you go through preparate, as you begin to prepare, it's amazing. You build this foundation of confidence. As you practice whatever it is, let me tell you, I'm not necessarily confident in speaking the word, but one thing that I am confident at, I'm confident in playing that instrument. You know why? Because I've done it thousands of times. I do it all the time. I practice things. I come up here and I do something often, often, often. I don't go to a place and unload my stuff and go, oh, this is a brand new case. I've shot enough horses where when I pull up somewhere, I'm confident. As a plumber, he's confident. He's done enough. Things that you do all the time, confidence will rest on the inside of you. Matthew 7 and verse 24 says this. It says, talking about foundation, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because its foundation is on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine does not put them into practice like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and grate against the house, and it fell with a great crash. That's what I want you to see. Both the man with the good foundation and the man with the sand, same things happen to him. Whether you're walking with Christ or whether you're not walking with Christ, thank God if you're walking with Christ, you see yourself in righteousness and you see yourself greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm just telling you, water still comes. The crashing of waves still comes. But it's the confidence that we have in the Word of God, and it's a foundation that beats the other. And so you got to have a foundation that's solid on the Word of God. Where do shoes come into play in this? As I mentioned before, they wore cleats. And you know, even in that time where they live, you will have some rocky times in your life, in your walk with God, but you got to stick to a good foundation. You got to be at a place with good footwear you can walk away unharmed. And as I begin to look at that, you will walk away unharmed. There is times where peace comes when you walk away. I'll say that again. Peace will come when you walk away. I'm not saying give up, but there is times where you may be in an argument. You may be in a place where the best thing that you can do is walk away before you say something that doesn't bring peace, before you do something that doesn't bring peace. God said, blessed are the peacemakers. Heidi said this. She may have said it, but she wrote it. If you don't want it read, don't write it. If you don't want it repeated, don't say it. If you don't want it seen, don't show it. Uma says this, Doug's mom, not to pick on y'all. I feel like I'm like picking on you. Y'all get on the front row, I'm going to pick on you. Just kidding. Uma says this, we have two ears, we have two eyes, and we have one mouth. We need to listen more, watch a little better, and shut up. Are we bringing peace? You have a good foundation. The Roman Empire was full of snakes and scorpions. We know that from history. But just before Jesus sent out his disciples to evangelize in Israel, he told them this: "Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you." Luke 10:19. You know what he was doing when he said that to them? He was giving them armor. And I'm telling you this morning, you have the power to tread all over the devil when the gospel of peace is a part of your life. Here's the third one, and this is my last one: revelation. When you have the revelation, as you begin, it will create a good foundation which will lead to revelation in your life. You know what that revelation is? This: there's a difference between peace with God and a peace of God. I shared this, in fact, I shared it with some ladies beforehand, and I was thinking about this. God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. In fact, the Bible says he's all holy. There's nothing that's, he's never had a bad day. He's never had a lie. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. And so him being all holy, it was hard for him when man sinned, because before that, when the devil and his demons, when they sinned, he kicks them out of heaven. He judged them. And so man, when he sinned, he knew he had to judge him. But here's another thing that you need to know about the Lord. He's all love. And he loves you. And it hurt him to know that man was making these decisions to sin. So as sin entered through one man, he said, "You know what I'll do? I'll send my son. And I'll have a blood sacrifice. And through that one man, I'll enter righteousness back into the earth." Give God praise this morning for what? That's the gospel. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ right there. That is the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel. But what happens is when that happens, we have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says this: "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace with God is different from peace of God. So we have peace with God. We now are confident in him that he wiped our sins as far as the east is from the west. We have peace with God. But you know, I know lots of people that have peace with God, but they don't have the peace of God. And there's a huge difference in that. Some people have a harder time doing this. You know, I'll be honest with you, it's easier for me to have a peace of God, and not that I'm perfect at this whatsoever, but I thank God for parents that raised me in a home that, I'm telling you, we went through some gnarly things as a child, but I had two parents that were confident in the Word of God. And I'm telling you, I see it as being a youth pastor for as many years as I was. I saw it all the time. I could read in a young man or young woman's life that they did not live in a life of peace. They lived in a drama-filled home. Everything was absolutely heartache and turmoil. You either create peace or you take it away. There's a difference between peace of God and peace with God. Peace of God is your lifestyle. It's freedom from turmoil. Even though the enemy comes in like a flood, you can resist him. You know the difference between the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes to give life and life more abundantly. When you see that there's something stolen from you that's trying to kill you and try to destroy you, you pick up that that is the devil. We don't want no part of it. We want life, and we want life more abundantly. And when you begin to realize and have this life in you, Colossians 3:15 says this: "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." That word "role" means this: conquering peace. You have to be active in creating peace in your home. You have to be active in creating peace everywhere you go, in your job or wherever it is. You have to make a choice. I'm either going to bring peace to the table or I'm going to take it away. You know, they say UN creates peace. It seems like they bring more turmoil. If you want peace, you're going to have to fight for it. If you want peace, you got to bring in the Marine Corps. You got to bring in the army. You got to bring in the sailors. Amen? Thank God for our military. But that's what brings peace. But this is what's reminding me to you that you need to see today. If you're going to have peace, you're going to have to fight for peace inside of your life, inside of your home, if you want it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the child of God. Philippians 4:7, going back to that. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. Your heart and your mind are continually under attack. And when you give up, when you give up on peace, you give up. Let me tell you three things that happens in my life of when I'm under attack. And I've seen this all throughout Scripture, even in the life of Job and the life of David. But there's three things. The devil does come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm going to help you this morning. There's three things that when you're under attack, there's the first thing that we do is we do this. We self-doubt. We have all these thoughts in our mind. If you would have done this, if you would have done that, if you would have prayed more, if you would have read your Bible more, if you would have been in church at this particular time, if. How many of y'all have ever been under that before? We have these self-doubts that attack us all the time. If I would have done this or I would have done that, you know what it creates? It creates in us God doubt. So we have this thought, we say, God, if I would have just raised my children a little bit better, or if I would have been here for this, or if I would have been here for that, then it goes into this place of, you know what, God, you know, this ain't my problem. This is actually, you let me do this. Why did you let me do this? Why am I doing this? God, this is you. And then, so we go from here to here, and then we go here. Hurt people, hurt people. And because of what we've talked ourselves into, we now blame God. We go from self-doubt to God-doubt to people-doubt. To even the people that are closest us to the most, we shun them because we've tried it on ourselves, we've tried it on the Lord, and now hurt people are beginning to hurt other people. Am I making sense this morning? But this is what I want you to see. The whole time we're doing this, this, and this, Scripture's saying, do this! Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers and rulers over darkness and wickedness in heavenly places. He said the devil comes in like a flood. He said he's the accuser of the brethren. The whole time we're doing this, this, and this. God, throughout Scripture from the beginning, he's saying, do this. Look down. It's him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You got to have peace. You know what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15? It says this. It says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heels. He's talking about the devil here, and he's saying the devil, he said, I will put enmity. He's talking to the devil. Between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. When you have the peace of God, and when you realize God has given you the authority to crush his head, let me tell you something. That's a game changer in your life. If you'd come to the piano, please. I want to encourage you with this. Have the peace of God. Prepare. You got to prepare. You got to stay in the Word of God. Because from preparation will come then a firm foundation. And then a foundation will lead to revelation. Do I have peace with God? That's a biggie. Because when you see yourself in Christ, you are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. You are now in him. But then you're going to have to make some choices in your life to have the peace of God. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you need to know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What did Peter say as he was sinking? He cries out to the Lord. He's saying, hey, yeah, get out of the boat. And he cries out to the Lord. What does he do? He says, Lord, save me. I want to encourage you. At that name, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know how you do it? He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the first. He's the last. And he's the author and the finisher of my faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. I pray that my children will come back to the land of the living. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways acknowledge him and he will direct my path. I pray, God, that through my mouth I can move mountains. I can do anything I put my hand to. I believe you keep your angels charge over me. Keep me in all my ways, and no evil will follow me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You will bear me up in your hands, lest I dash my foot against the stone. Give, and it'll be given back to you. God, I have given. I pray you give back into my life. And as you begin to stand on the word of God, it's amazing. There's peace that comes as you begin to say that. Because God's word and his name is the final answer. You have a choice. You can either walk with peace or not have peace. And I don't know about you, but I want peace in my life. There's enough turmoil on CNN, Fox News, Facebook, wherever you turn. People are eat up with it. But you know what? As I live my life of Christ, I want people to see the goodness of God in me. I want them to see not only he has peace with God, but he has the peace of God on the inside of him.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. For more information about this ministry, please look us up at www.arenaoflifechurch.org or contact the church office at 806-622-8000.